Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get your day started.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and happy Thursday to you today. We're so glad you're with us. I hope you slept well, or if you're just getting up, good morning. Nice to have you with us. I got that third alarm today, and I thought, you know what? I better get up. It's time to go. Time to get moving. So I opened my Bible to Psalm 116, and it said, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And that's Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. So here in Minnesota, where I live, the Minnesota State Fair starts today. I went last year, and I found it interesting. They've got a lot of health-related things at the fair. They did cholesterol testing last year, which I thought was sort of interesting because that booth was right next to the booth where they were selling deep-fried pork rinds wrapped in bacon and dipped in cheese. Seemed a little counterproductive to have those two side by side. But we have a great show this morning. We've got Danny Huerta coming on. He's a vice president of parenting and youth at Focus on the Family. When I first saw his name, I tried pronouncing it a couple of times, Danny Huerta, and I butchered it a couple of times. Then I found out it was Huerta. That's what you got to get that role, Huerta. Anyway, he's going to talk about back-to-school routines to start the term right and how grandparents and parents can best prepare their students and their loved ones to be ready for the school year, and then the importance of learning discipline and good habits. And as hard as it is to get back into the swing of the season, he's going to give us some great tips on how to do that. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back with Danny Huerta in just a minute. Good morning, Bill Arnold here, and yet another day behind the microphone here at Faith Radio, thanks to their commitment to the hiring of unskilled labor. We've got a great show here going on. Rebecca, who do we have on the show today?
We have the one and only Danny Huerta from Focus on the Family. I am not.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love that. Danny Huerta is the vice president of the Parenting and Youth Department at Focus on the Family. In his role, he oversees Focus's initiatives that equip parents to discipline and mentor the next generation so that they can thrive in Christ. I believe he's on the studio line right now. Danny, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Rebecca and Bill, for having me on the show. That was a very warm introduction.
Well, we are absolutely delighted to have you on board. So it is back to school time, and for some districts here in the upper Midwest, they're already back, and others start after Labor Day. So give us some coaching, because we need mentoring.
Well, there's a need for routine. You know, you see athletes, and they have a routine before they go up to bat, maybe. You may have seen some of the Twins doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But real professional players, they start way before the game on their routine to become focused on what they need to do. And families need to do the same thing. A lot of adults actually love their routine and need to learn how to flex from their routine, but kids don't have that down. And we have our own personal routines and then family routines. So my recommendation for parents is get into a routine that's going to work well for your family. And you may have very creative kids. Bring them into the mix as far as the conversations regarding routine.
Okay. Danny, if we're going to go back to school and we're going to start learning things, is it important for parents to help their kids unlearn some things? Because maybe over the summer they learn some things they need to unlearn.
Yeah, I think the big one's probably the use of technology. There's a lot more freedom for that in the summertime. And then you have the demands of school, and technology can become very distracting just because it's available. And anything you want to see and shop for anything you want to do, you have it right there in your pocket and you can pop it out. So I really recommend families have a few rules at least around when the technology comes out, and very specific rules. So mealtimes are the perfect example. Research consistently shows that mealtimes together help kids lower their depression, but also they do better in school and in decision making when it comes to substance abuse and other things. So mealtimes is a big one. Make sure all the phones are put away. The other one is bedtime. Research is consistently telling us that sleep is very important for our brain to be prepared for the next day. So for families, I know a lot of kids have gotten to stay up late at night, and school starts, and all of a sudden they're in shock. They're walking zombies, right? Their brain is just that they're mush going into school, and they can't concentrate. And, in fact, my son, we've started here in Colorado already, and he said a few kids have fallen asleep in class. And so it's getting back into the reality that you have to get up really early and resetting the clock. And actually, one of the families that I'm working with, I'm resetting the clock for one of their kids that just was having a hard time falling asleep. It was a reality. He lay down. He couldn't fall asleep. And so we talked about some natural ways to maybe reset that. And really, the first one is starting to unplug early, mm-hmm. and then having plenty of physical activity throughout the day.
So, you know, Danny, we talk about technology, and kids go to school and start using technology. So how do we draw the line between I'm actually doing some work, or I'm getting ready for school, or I'm getting prepared to learn with technology, because the minute I get to school, I'm going to have more of it?
Yeah, it's having the windows. When they get home from school, having the window of time on the work time on the technology, and then having some free time. So general rule of thumb, most high schoolers have quite a bit of homework online. That's the reality. So they have 2-3 hours of homework where they're using technology, and that's fine if they're truly focused on that. If kids were honest, they would share that they're on Facebook, Instagram, they have their iPod with music, they have all kinds of technology going right into their brain, and they're becoming great managers of distraction rather than very focused. And so as parents, we have to coach our kids how to be focused and take one chunk at a time. And in reality, kids can handle music and do homework, and some kids can handle TV and homework at the same time. That some kids can, most kids cannot. And if they try to convince you of that, they're just telling you that they're great at managing distraction. So by 8-9 o'clock at night, it's just getting too late, and the brain's going to turn right back on, and a child's going to have a hard time sleeping, and that cycle will continue all throughout the year, and that's where depression begins to hit many kids. So as parents, we're not here to make kids happy. We're here to help them learn how to manage life, how to regulate themselves and feelings, and how to handle all the responsibilities they have. So really help kids learn the schedule that they're going to need in order to fulfill the responsibilities. Some kids may have more homework than others, and that's you as a parent intentionally engaging and figuring out what makes sense for your specific children.
Danny, you said something that was true, brave, and honest, that we're not trying to make kids happy. We're trying to help them become smart, better people.
Yes.
I took some liberties there. I didn't really quote you perfectly, but you know where I was going with that, didn't you?
Yes, yes. And, you know, our kids have to become great decision makers, and not perfect ones, but great. And that means they have to learn how to adjust to poor decision making, which they will have. And we always have a wrestling match between short-term rewards and long-term rewards. And for example, a child may say, oh, you know, I really want to play this video game a little longer, not thinking about what it's going to cost him by the time he has to turn in a paper a few weeks down the road. And he wants to do well on the paper, but he also wants to have some fun playing video games. And for teens, they haven't learned how to really look down the line to meet a goal that they've placed on themselves. So if they want to become a great basketball player, they want to become a child of God where they really serve God, that's a building. Those are small decisions that build towards that. And in the immediate, there's so many things knocking on the door, and our brain tends to go for the lowest hanging fruit, whatever's easiest in the moment. And so it takes tremendous training and coaching to make decisions that go towards the long-term goal. So it's great to post up those goals. Hey, what do you want to accomplish this month? What do you want to do this coming year? And then help coach them towards that and help them make that decision that helps put off some of that reward to get the bigger reward. And that's just hard. That's hard for kids. So have some understanding as parents and come alongside of them with that understanding and love and create a routine where they can actually be successful and then celebrate. Once they're successful on those goals of 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, have great celebrations. That is a wonderful routine that God has taught us in Scripture, and I think that we need to continue. Look back, remember, and remember God's goodness towards you, and also the things that are good. If we remember those things, even in creation, God did that. He looked back and saw that things were good, and that's celebratory. So make sure you stop and celebrate with your kids and not just move on from things that are accomplished.
All right, Danny, let me take a break, and we come back. I want to talk more about getting your kids ready for school. I'm speaking to Danny Huerta. He is the Vice President of the Parenting and Youth Department at Focus on the Family. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Danny Huerta. He is the Vice President of the Parenting and Youth Department at Focus on the Family. And we're trying to get our kiddies ready for school and get them out of the vacation, summer vacation mode and into the back to school, think about serious stuff mode. And, you know, Danny, I don't know if we ever talk about how significant the brain is with kids when it comes to things like technology. Because you wouldn't let your kid have a pixie stick at 10 o'clock at night or 9:30 at night because it would just be irresponsible. But yet our brains have almost a similar response. You get dopamine firing away in your brain when you're on your technology. So it really has to get shut off earlier than later.
Yeah, and dopamine, if people aren't familiar with it, this neurotransmitter is key for us to get things done. When you're hungry, dopamine fires, you go get food. If you didn't have dopamine firing, you would just sit there and starve. And it helps you go get water if you're thirsty. In this case, technology for many teenagers becomes a need instead of being a want. And so helping teenagers learn that, hey, this is something I want, but I also want to do well the next day. The brain is not shutting down when you go to sleep. Actually, it's doing a lot. It's preparing for the next day, consolidating memories, thoughts, all kinds of great things while we're sleeping. And you don't even have to do anything while it's doing that except for shutting it down and going to sleep so that it can do its thing.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so it's important to have a routine of going to sleep, because if you go to sleep at 9 and then 11 and then midnight and then 8, It throws it off, and it's really actually it makes it hard for the brain to know how to recharge those nights. So make sure it's a consistent bedtime.
Yeah, the old sleep garbage man shows up and takes out all the garbage, doesn't all the cells that need to be removed, and things get reorganized. And pretty important time in the old noggin just to be sound asleep.
Yes, and technology prevents that. I don't know if people have heard the blue light and just the wakefulness. I think also the excitement of what you're looking at.
Oh, totally.
You can lose time so quickly in there, right? I mean, I think all of us as adults are just as guilty. We can waste time very, very quickly on a device or even on a computer.
Yeah. Danny, if you would talk about the importance of modeling good learning behavior ourselves. I mean, don't we have to be the lead in this whole thing?
Yes. My daughter the other day, she told my wife was telling my daughter, hey, did you you had wanted to start reading more in the Word and wanted to learn about this particular character. Did you do that today? And she said, well, Mom, I didn't see you reading your Bible today. And that's so true. My wife said, actually, I did it, but you weren't seeing. But they're watching. Kids are watching what we're doing, and that's the reality. We need to model what are we paying attention to? How are we managing our time? What captures our attention? So if the most common conflict in my counseling office beyond the big ones, which is chores, is the dinner time where parents say no phones, no devices, and then a dad or a mom pulls out their device in the middle of the dinner and says, oh, this is a really important phone call or it's an important text. Well, we have to model what we're asking our kids to do, including time management around managing the home. If we're saying, hey, we need to pick up after ourselves, well, yeah, as parents, we need to do that as well. So it's simple but hard. Is what we're asking our kids to do, we need to do ourselves, and it helps the whole home grow and thrive if we do that together. And if a child says, hey, you haven't done this, it's not a threat. It's a reminder that, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm asking you to do that. That probably doesn't feel really right to you. And so that's just a reminder to you as a parent that you need to pay attention to that area that your child is watching when you're not being consistent.
Yeah, here's that old saying, Danny. I got this out of a fortune cookie. What you're doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, that's great. That is so true. Kids are watching. They hear it. They hear what you're saying about people and to people. And yesterday morning, we were going to church. It's a long drive, so we get to talk about lots of things. And I talked to my daughter. She was feeling kind of insecure, had some questions about this coming school year. And one of the things that was interesting that we looked at was that she tends to be quite critical when she walks into a room. And so when we do that, when we're critical of other people silently in our mind, we assume people are thinking the same things about ourselves, about us. And so for her task, we can't control what people think, but we can control what we think, the pattern of our thinking towards other people. And so her goal was to find something good about every child in her class, think about that, and focus on those good things. Like it says in Philippians 4:8, and then Isaiah 26:3 says, he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Mm-hmm. And if we trust in God, we can really certainly compliment other people in our mind. And that was a real helpful switch for my daughter, not be afraid of things she can't control, but focus on what she can.
Yeah, Danny, we just got about a minute left, and where do kids get obsessed with fairness? Where does that come from? Because, you know, right away, if you talk about, you know, did you read the word, and why didn't see you read it? So, I mean, kids have this running score all the time, and if things aren't fair, they detect it and smell it and root it out.
Yeah, they want to make sure there's consistency. It's just a natural human condition, right, that we want that. And in our home, we say, you know, each of us are very different and unique. And so even our parenting is going to be different for each of the kids. Rewards may be a little different. Your jobs may be a little different. And that's what gives us the masterpiece uniqueness that it talks about in Ephesians 2:10, that we're all masterpieces. So that means we each need to be treated a little differently, and that's okay. It doesn't make us better or less than the other. And the fairness component has come from a cultural society that looks at you deserve this and you deserve that. And this is not a shaming thing for anyone, but as parents, let's step in and not fall into that cultural trap that we have to make everything fair. Really, the idea is that we're here to mold and teach, and whatever that child needs, the more engaged you are, the more relationship you have, the less stuck your child will be on the fairness component. They will still slip into it, but they'll be less obsessed with it, the better the relationship between the parent and the child.
Mm-hmm. You know, Danny, I haven't spoken to you in a while, but I forgot how much I enjoy speaking to you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it, man. Yeah. I really love talking to you as well. Great questions, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Wonderful questions.
Yeah. Well, good luck with getting all the kids back to school, and appreciate your work at Focus on the Family, and many blessings on you this day.
Thanks, Bill. And hey, can I just mention a download that we have right now?
Absolutely.
For parents?
Yep.
Okay. It's through focusonthefamily.com/ wonderfully wired. It's a free download on some new routines that you can have with your child on time management, on media discernment, how to think through movies and TV and things you're going to put into your brain to make sure those are the things you want to do, and then how we each differently connect with God and how to have an open discussion around those and then encourage one another with those unique ways. Some kids may like to go out in nature and have that time with God instead of sitting there and just reading. And so each child, each parent may be different, and so encouraging those differences. And so I hope people engage with that download today.
Okay, thanks so much, Danny. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill. You
all
too.
Right, bye-bye. We'll take a short break and be more back with more of the show in just a minute. Good morning. I sure enjoyed that, Danny Huerta. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a little break for news, and we come back. Kim Cattola's with us. I always look forward to that. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning. 25 minutes until the top of the hour. All of us can serve God right where we are, no matter what our circumstances are. Sometimes we wish we could do more. Dr. Lars Dunberg reminds us that every little bit helps.
The needs are always so far beyond, and you don't know how to reach them all. But I learned a great lesson in the 80s when I was in Kolkata one day and was extremely frustrated because I could not see what it mattered. I mean, what do? We help two, but there are 2,000 that don't get helped. And I was sitting in my hotel room crying because I was so frustrated. And that afternoon, I had tea with a little old lady in Kolkata, and she said to me, Lars, remember this. People are born one at a time. They live one at a time. You win them to Jesus one at a time, and they die one at a time. Never forgotten it. Her name was Mother Teresa. And she was such an inspiration to show it was worth it all when you help one. And so that's what we're doing. And I have found that mission is very doable. You know, we have made mission very complex, and we send people, and it costs trillions of dollars to educate our kids and everything else like that. But sometimes a very small amount can help one person. When people say, I have no money, I say, you got $5, haven't you? Oh, yeah. Well, I said, for $5, you can do this, 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 this. And I give them a whole long list of how we will, everyone will influence one person for a lifetime. And so it doesn't take that much. Mission is doable today. It's just that we need to wake up and say, I can do my part. I can serve now. Procrastinate, you can do it much later.
I like that, Dr. Lars Dunberg. You want to hear that entire interview, go to myfaithradio.com and type in basics serving, and you'll get to that interview. We're going to take a very short break, and then Kim Cattola is with us. Be back in just a minute.
A biblically ignorant electorate will elect to office persons like themselves, and that has catastrophic results. This is Jim Garlow. Let me be just candid. A silent pulpit produces a silent pew. A silent pew will go into the voting booth and not know how to vote Christianly or to think and act like Jesus. The call upon every pastor is not to be more political, it's to be more biblical. To articulate what does the scripture actually say to the political and social issues of our day, inform people, they begin to live it out, they begin to share it with others, and even when they go into the voting booth, which by the way is a very Christian act, as they go into the voting booth, they're distinctly Christianly, and they vote in a way that Jesus would be honored because they're scripturally grounded on every political and social issue. That's the call today. Be well-versed at jimgarlow.com.
Thanks for being with us this morning. It's 22 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Kim Cattola with us on our studio line. She is from, of course, Cradle My Heart Radio, hearing on the Faith Radio Sunday nights. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. We've got really the celebrity edition today of our episode with you. I'm excited to talk about this.
Well, and you know, there are a lot of people that stand up for the pro-choice worldview. Mm-hmm. In fact, wow, if you put together the celebrities from Hollywood and from the world of music and sports even, you can think of a lot of names of people who are very active you know, defending a woman's reproductive rights to abortion. It's kind of hard to think of that many pro-life celebrities, but they are out there and they're making a mark. They're very very bold when they do speak out.
Let's start with former NFL coach Tony Dungy. He sparked quite a debate about blacks and abortion over the weekend. Talk about that.
You know, I so admire Coach Dungy.
Me too.
And I heard him speak at the Minnesota Prayer Breakfast a number of years ago. It was right on the heels of the death of his son by suicide. Mm. And he never mentioned that, Bill. But the thread running through all of his comments was the value of life.
Wow.
Right? And I mean, so when Benjamin Watson spoke up about the disproportionate number of black babies being aborted in America, Coach Dungy said, hey, way to go. He said, you know, good for you. And if this was all unfolding on Twitter, and then, wow, the pushback began.
Oh, did it ever.
Oh, man. So he just tweeted out, I applaud my brother, Benjamin Watson, for speaking the truth on a controversial issue. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he linked to a live action story where Ben Watson talked about black genocide. It's something we've dealt with on Cradle My Heart Radio. I became aware of it, Bill, wow, almost 10 years ago now. You know, the story is out there if you want to listen to it. And the evidence includes the fact that in Manhattan, for example, more black babies are aborted than born. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think blacks make up about 16% of the population, but have almost 40% of the abortions. And the activists that I've spoken with in the black community will say that it's because they are being targeted by the abortion industry, which is a part of the legacy of abortion in America.
Mm-hmm.
It was started as eugenics to try to, you know, eliminate the black race.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Dungy is speaking out, but he's doing it so winsomely, and he's taking all comers, and it's like, verbal jujitsu on Twitter as he's answering his critics.
Mm-hmm. And Benjamin Watson is a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, so he's a professional athlete that plays right now, and he just says that, like you said, a large portion of the abortions are in the black community. And the whole idea with Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger in the past was to exterminate blacks. It's kind of ironic that it's working.
Well, and, you know, so here's the pushback. A woman named Jen Jackson tweets, leave it to two black men to ignore structural disparities in healthcare access and education facing black women. What? What?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is ad hominem. They're men, so they can't comment.
Of course.
On, you know, defending unborn life.
And Tony Dungy replied with, it's not a healthcare issue, it's a moral issue.
Go coach. Advantage Tony.
Yes.
Right. The next one, Feminista Jones is her Twitter handle, so there you go. And this is ugly propaganda, coach. It's a racist lie to demonize black women, has nothing to do with faith or God. Okay, those aren't arguments. Those aren't facts. That is not evidence. All she's doing is making assertions and, again, sort of trying to tear down what he has said based on the evidence. And Coach said, not demonizing black women, demonizing the process. You know, he said, because black women aren't the only ones having abortions. And so I just so admire his grace in this. For even daring to stand up, because it will cost him something.
Oh, of course.
It will cost him something. There will be people who will forever say that he's a sellout and all the things that get said when people stand. And I love this, though, Bill. So Robbie tweets out, what do we do with the overflowing unwanted black children, foster home after foster home, to filling privatized prisons? I mean, these are the arguments in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Women and the culture need abortion, Bill, because of unwanted children will be neglected and harmed. And Coach's answer was this, and this is the answer. Get the men to stand up and help make those children wanted.
Wow.
Right?
Nice
and
job,
I mean,
Coach.
His book, Uncommon, is such an exhortation to guys to do that, to be the uncommon man who will stand up and have character and do the right thing. And he's got a daily devotional that goes with that. Now, there are tons of resources that he has labored long and hard on to help men stand up and make children want it and stand up and be men that can be proud of themselves for doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kim, as we continue in our celebrity edition, let's talk about Patricia Heaton. She is unapologetically pro-life, isn't she?
She is. And, you know, I think she also has a lot of verbal facility. But what I love about her tweets and about the way that she represents is that she just cuts right to the chase. And she always has that humorous edge because she is Patricia Heaton. You know, so the most recent was her tweet, which has now gained, I don't know, it's got tens of thousands of retweets and likes concerning CBS's headline about eradicating Down syndrome in Iceland. And her tweet out on that subject was that Iceland isn't actually eliminating Down syndrome. They're just killing everybody who has it. Big difference. That's gotten 28,000 likes, I think, even a week ago, so probably more by now. And a lot of replies, a lot of retweets. And she's absolutely correct. You know, the headline makes it sound like there's a breakthrough with, you know, some sort of genetic answer to this condition. But no, what's happening is aborting babies who have Down syndrome, who have that diagnosis in utero, which can often be mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So Patricia Heaton, through the years, has stood strong for the cause of life. And again, she gets a lot of pushback, but she just continues in good humor, even in the face of the pushback. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate and admire about her. She really models for us how to do this winsomely from a position of strength and from a position of truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the truth is on our side.
Exactly. All right, Kim, we're going to continue our celebrity episode with Kim Cattola today after just a short break. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be back in just a minute with Kim Cattola. Good morning. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to Kim Cattola from Cradle of My Heart Radio. And we're talking about kind of our celebrity edition of our time together because of there's so many people in the news, celebrities who speak out for pro-life issues. Your pal Kathy Ireland kind of gave you a nice retweet.
We are far from pals.
You know what? Just let it just work with me.
So I was on Twitter on Sunday, which was National Radio Day. Who knew? I did not know that. But I started thinking about all the fun moments that I've had in radio, Bill. I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter, Addie, I happened to meet Dolly Parton backstage at a show. She rubbed my belly and predicted a girl. I mean, I've had some great moments.
Uh-huh.
But not all of them were captured on film. I wish I had the audio of that interview when I had a chance to speak with Kathy Ireland. I think it was probably 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We were right on the cusp of digital everything. But anyway, I had a chance to interview her at a conference. And so I had a picture in the archive, and I said it was a favorite moment. And because, you know, with pro-life celebrity and icon Kathy Ireland tweeted that out for hashtag National Radio Day, and she tweeted back and thanked me for it. I mean, like, what? Okay, that's cool. Very cool of her. What I love about what she tweeted back was a defense of people who have had abortions. She's been very outspoken about her pro-life worldview. And she's given lots of interviews about it. And she said she came to it, Bill, when she was reading medical texts. And she said it's irrefutable.
Mm-hmm.
The DNA is a separate, distinct, living, whole human being from conception forward. And she said, I'm pro-life without exception. And so, you know, and that has been her position. And it's interesting that I think she's to a place where people don't seem to push back too much. Right?
Yeah.
It's like you just really don't want to be. She's just such a presence and such a positive and a kind and a admirable presence. Who would want to push back against her, right? And so she tweeted back, you know, women who have had abortions need compassion. And there are two victims in every abortion, which, again, I think is a really lovely thing for her to have tweeted back mm-hmm. to me. And so, yeah, I was.
Is that up on your website, Cradle My Heart Radio?
You know, it's I haven't put it on the website yet.
You need to get that up there.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter feed.
Two beauties in one picture. Everyone needs to see that.
All right, I will.
Right,
we'll
thanks.
Do that. We'll do that this morning after
all right,
we get
good.
Up here.
All right, Mike Huckabee. Oh, boy. Boy, he said something that I find absolutely fascinating. And he, in the wake of all the protesters tearing down all these statues that are offensive, Mike asked a simple question. Can we tear down things that he disagrees with? How about abortion clinics?
Oh, my goodness. And this one is like, okay, it's hard to jump on that comment because that has actually happened in the past. And the people who have done that have actually, you know, committed felonies. Mm-hmm. And the people who have done that have actually been, you know, convicted of violence. And because everybody on all sides recognizes, no, you can't do that. Right. And so, I really like the fact that he went ahead and said that because it's a really hard to avoid truth. That no, we may not. And if that's not okay, then how is it okay for other people to be rioting and taking things into their hands and doing violence to try to, you know, bring about change?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those on the left, those who are pro-choice, and it's all of a piece, I think, if you're on the left, to be pro-choice, you know, the groups seem to align with one another, you know, a Bustle website. I don't know if you ever go there. Why would you? it's aimed at women and very, identity feminist politics, in every article. And Bustle and places like that online are very upset that he would say such a thing because it's, you know, morally not equivalent.
Is it a bad analogy or is it a fair question?
It's one of those Rorschach tests. How do you react to that? As I said, it made me a little uneasy because I will always say, no, we can't take it into our own hands. You know, the people that shot abortion providers, which was happening in the 1980s, said that they were doing that as an act of faith, defending the children who were going to be killed. And they were willing to take the punishment and go to prison and die for it. You know, I cannot endorse that, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take life to save life. I can't endorse that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, Governor Huckabee, and I don't think Governor Huckabee would actually call for it either.
No.
It was a way to really shed light on the mindset. And, I don't think those who needed to hear it have the ears to hear it, unfortunately, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
I don't think those that he was aiming to touch with that remark would really get it.
Mm-hmm. Kim, we just have a couple of minutes left, and tiptoe into this with me. Susan Komen, Breast Cancer Foundation, donates money to Planned Parenthood, and yet Planned Parenthood doesn't do mammograms. So what's the money for?
Oh, man, this story has been out there, Bill, since Karen Handel was involved with Susan Komen, and it came up again when she was running for that open seat in Congress here in Georgia, you know, because she's no friend to women's health care because she fought, you know, defunding Komen and Planned Parenthood. Well, you're right. I mean, there aren't mammograms being done at Planned Parenthood. You know, they may do breast self-exams and have women teach women, that is, to do breast self-exams, but they've never done mammograms.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been called out for that on many different places, and it's been proven many different ways. And the abortion breast cancer link remains controversial, but if you have an open heart to look at the evidence honestly, you will see that that it is not settled science, nor is it junk science, nor has it the abortion breast cancer link been discredited. All of the things that abortion rights advocates will tell you are so are not so. There is a clear link in the evidence and in the research between abortion and breast cancer. And so, yeah, I mean, we need to be really wise about which nonprofits we support. We need to do our research, and we need to, you know, support those that stand for life-affirming values and stand on the side of those who would say that abortion is wrong because it's the intentional killing of an innocent human being. You know, aside from that, it has negative health consequences. I recommend the Hush documentary, the Hush film, for those who want to know more about the abortion breast cancer link and the mental health issues, as well as the risk for miscarriage and pregnancy complications after abortion, because the evidence is out there for all three.
Yeah. I just find it interesting how the Susan Komen Foundation is about breast cancer prevention and research, and yet they donate to Planned Parenthood. And since you'll find out probably one day that having an abortion increases your risk of cancer, it's kind of doubly ironic.
Well, it is. And it's a story that is still out there, even though, you know, it should have been, I think, put to rest quite a while ago. But because Komen has not severed those ties, I think the story will continue to stay out there. And people of conscience are really going to have to ask themselves that question about supporting it.
Yes. Well, Kim, this wraps up our celebrity edition. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for the chance,
Bill. All right. You bet. That's Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. We'll take a short break and be back. I opened my Bible to Psalm 116 this morning. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. That wraps up our first hour. We've got a great second hour coming up with Mindy Hines going to be with us, and then Dr. Ann Bradley. What a great hour that's going to be. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.